We're going to turn again to that passage of Scripture we read earlier, please, to Colossians, to the chapter number 3. And with God's Word open before us, let us bow together in a brief word of prayer. Father, we do remember those who mourn today, and we pray for Sister Myrtle, and Ian and the family. We pray that Thou will comfort that entire family and family circle in their time of bereavement. May they know the comfort of the Lord. And even through that passing of a loved one out of that family circle, speak to others in that family circle not ready for death, not ready for eternity. And even through that passing, be pleased, O God, to save and to draw others to Christ. Father, we thank Thee now for Thy Word. We pray that Thou would bless Thy Word afresh to our hearts. Open our eyes today to behold wondrous things out of Thy law. Speak to saint and to sinner alike, to preacher and to congregation, we pray. Pour out Thy Holy Spirit, we pray. Give words directly, Lord, from Thyself. Give wisdom, give clarity, give plainness, give simplicity, Lord, of speech. And Lord, we pray today through Thy Word that Thou wilt save some soul in her gathering. Through Thy Word that Thou wilt build up Thy people, that Thou wilt glorify Thy name. Answer prayer to this end, we ask. Abide with us, we pray, for Jesus' sake and glory. Amen. Our text for today that we want to look at is verse 1 and verse 2 of Colossians chapter number 3. Let me read those two verses with you again. It says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Whenever we think of the resurrection of Christ, we can indeed say that it is the cornerstone of Christianity. Indeed, it is for that particular reason that down throughout the centuries of time, this great doctrine has been attacked often by ungodly men. Whenever Paul penned the 15th chapter of his first letter to Corinthians, that whole chapter was to emphasize the importance of the resurrection of Christ. And speaking in that chapter about that particular matter, Paul said to the Corinthians, and if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. There Paul reminded the Corinthians, if there was no resurrection of Christ, then there was no hope for eternity. Then all his preaching and all his ministry was in vain. But praise God, in that very same chapter, Paul asserts the great truth that Christ did rise again from the dead. He said, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. And dear people, this morning, the resurrection of Christ was all in accordance with God's great plan of redemption for sinners. Think again of what Paul says in the opening verses of that same great chapter. He says this of Christ, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures, according to God's plan, according to God's will and to God's purpose. It's interesting to note that in the New Testament itself, Christ gave many infallible proofs of his own resurrection. And in fact, he appeared on no less than 16 occasions as the resurrected Christ. And these appearances mean that his resurrection is beyond dispute. May the Church of Christ, she commemorates his resurrection every Lord's Day that she meets together to worship. Dear people, this is why we should come to church on the Lord's Day morning and on the Lord's Day evening. By that, by our coming together, we commemorate before the world that our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, has risen. And by each Lord's Day, as the Church of Christ thinks of the resurrection of Christ, she can truly say, this is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. My, all over the world today, the Church of Christ is meeting to worship God. And in her worship, she rejoices
that Christ not only has died, but that Christ has risen again. It must also be said that the setting apart of Easter Sunday, while it is good to have a special season in the year to remember especially the resurrection of Christ, is something that has only been instituted by man and not by God. But dear people, this morning the resurrection of Christ is important. Why? Because it signifies for us the believer's resurrection unto eternal life and heaven itself. You remember the words of Christ to Martha at the time of Lazarus' sickness and death. He spoke to her and he said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And the resurrection of Christ means, child of God, that you and I also one day will be resurrected to eternal life in heaven with Christ our Redeemer. But now the resurrection of Christ is also important, for it signifies the believer's new spiritual life in Christ. And why this life is manifested whenever a person repents of their sins, and whenever they trust the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. And this is how it was for these Colossian believers to whom Paul is writing to in our chapter this morning. They had faith in Christ as their Savior. You turn back to Colossians chapter 1 and to verses 3 and 4. You'll see that for yourself. The opening remarks of this epistle. Paul says in verse 3 of chapter 1, he says, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Notice then what he says. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints. They were a people who had faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. As Paul would write this letter to them, the faith of these Christians was now being attacked. And can I say that's the business of Satan at all times, to attack the faith of God's people. And if you're saved in this meeting this morning, Christian, you can expect the attack of the evil one upon your faith. That's the work of Satan until the Lord comes back again. False teachers had crept into this church at Colossae. And their aim was to get these believers to relapse back again into pagan religion and into the gross immoral sins of this world. If you look at chapter 2 in the verse 18 and chapter 3 in the verse 5, you'll see there how Paul makes reference to that. He warns them of false religion. In Colossians 2 in the verse 8, he says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. And Christian, that is one of the ways that the devil will always attack you. He will try to get you to desert your Christian faith and to go back into the pagan false religions of this world. Look again at what Paul says to them in chapter 3 in the verse number 5 and 6. He says, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. And again, Christian, this is another way that the devil will always attack you. He will do all he can to lure you back into the practices and to the ways and to the schemes of this immoral, this evil and ungodly world. Now to repudiate this attack upon the church at Colossae, Paul reminds these Christians that in their union with Christ, they had now been raised to a new life in Christ. And in this new life in Christ, they were to seek after the things of God. They were not to seek after the false religions of men, nor were they to follow after the ungodly fashions of the world. He sets before them this holy ambition of seeking after Christ in the words of our text this morning. He says in verses 1 and 2, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God, set your affection on things above and not on things on the earth. He counsels them here to follow after the risen Christ. Like manner, we would say this morning, this following after the risen Christ ought to be the ambition of every child of God. This ought to be the goal of each one who is saved by the grace of God in this service this morning. And people, it's for that reason that I want us to look here at these opening words of Colossians chapter 3 and verses 1 and 2. There are three things in particular here that every Christian should note regarding this all-important ambition of following after the risen Christ. First of all, I want you to see here that in following the risen Christ, the believer must consider the meaning of his risen life in Christ. What does it mean to this new life in Christ, this risen life? Why, it means that the believer has been quickened by the power of God, the Holy Ghost. You remember what Paul said to the church at Ephesus in chapter 2 and verse 1 of that letter? He said, "In you hath he quickened who are dead in trespasses and sins." Now, once the Ephesians were dead in sin, but through the regenerating power of the Holy Spirit, they were now made alive in their hearts to God. This is how it was with the Christians in the church at Colossae. And this is how it is with every believer in Christ, child of God. This is how it is with you in our meeting this morning. My, once you lived only for self and for sin and for the things of this ungodly world and were bound for hell. However, the Holy Spirit began to work in your heart, and what a work he wrought. Christ speaks of that work of the Holy Spirit in the Gospel of John when he says, "And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment." And my, through the Holy Spirit, child of God, you were convicted of your sins. You were convicted of your lost condition before God. You were convinced of your need of Christ as Savior. And my, you were led to repent of your sin and to trust in Christ and in his finished work alone for your salvation. My, because of the quickening power of the Holy Spirit in your life, dear child of God, you too can say with David this morning, the psalmist, "The Lord is my salvation." My, you can say with Charles Wesley, the hymn writer, "Thine eye diffused a quickening ray, I rose, went forth, and followed thee." And dear child of God, this morning, the fact that you're in this meeting, now trusting in Christ alone for salvation, it is a proof. It's a testimony that you are no longer dead in your trespasses and in your sins. For does not Christ say, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life"? Child of God, your faith in Christ, feeble though it may be at times, it's but a token of your new life in Christ, that you've been raised to newness of life in Christ. And my dear child of God, since that day you were quickened by the Holy Spirit to embrace Christ, has there not been a change in your life? The Bible says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." You no longer are tied to the things of this world as it was before in your life. You can now say of this world, like Solomon of old, "Vanity of vanities, all is vanity." Mind you know in your heart today that worldliness and Christianity are two ends that can never meet in the life of the child of God. My, since the day you are quickened by the Holy Spirit and led to trust Christ, my, you now love the things of God, things that you once despised, things that you once hated. That's all through what God has done in your soul. Your testimony is like Paul of old as he wrote to the Galatian church. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 2 and the verse number 20. And as you look over your Christian life, think of all that God has done for you by his regenerating power. You can say, "Yes, this is now my testimony." Verse 20 of Galatians chapter 2. Paul says, "I am crucified with Christ." This is what the Christian life is all about. "Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Christian, this is your life. This is what God has done for you in Christ through the quickening power of God the Holy Spirit. You can say, yes, the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Also, dear child of God, is it not the case this morning through the quickening power of the Holy Spirit, through your faith in Christ, you can now rejoice in the forgiveness, the pardon of all your sins? What does it say in Romans chapter 8 and the verse 1? It says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. What is the promise of God to every soul, man, woman, young person, boy or girl who trusts Christ as Savior? He says this, I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own name's sake and will not remember thy sins. Something the world could never do for you, dear child of God, God has done for you in Christ. He has blotted out all your sins. And you can rejoice in that today. Why, you can rejoice also, dear child of God, through what God has done for you in Christ, that you're now saved. Saved from the wrath to come. That you have the great hope of everlasting life and a home in heaven in your soul. Remember also what Jesus said to Martha at the time of Lazarus' illnesses. He said, and whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Turn with me in your Bible over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And the verse number 9. And this is what God has done for you in your risen life, dear child of God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and the verse number 9. It says, for God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation. That speaks of the believer's redemption in heaven by our Lord Jesus Christ. You've been delivered, child of God. From the wrath to come through Christ. Now, there was once a pastor and he announced to his congregation that he was going to speak the next Lord's Day morning on the subject of heaven. And during the week, he received a letter from an elderly Christian in his congregation who was ill. And in that letter, that gentleman said to the pastor, I'm interested in that land, speaking of heaven, because I have a clear title to a bit of property there for over 55 years. It was given to me without money and without price. And speaking of Christ, he said this, the donor purchased it for me, a tremendous sacrifice. My, because of saving faith in Christ and in the finished work of Christ. That old saint of God was looking forward to heaven, looking forward to glory. Oh, Christian, you can look forward today to heaven, saved by the grace of God, purchased for you through the blood of Christ. Upon the cross. Yes, we see the meaning of the risen life of the Christian. But notice secondly from our text this morning, notice also that in following after the risen Savior, the believer must exercise their risen life in Christ. How must they exercise their risen life in Christ? Well, notice what Paul says there in the middle of Colossians chapter 3 in the verse 1. He says, seek those things which are above. In other words, Paul was saying here to the Colossian Christians that they were to seek after the things of God. This was their responsibility in their new life in Christ. That word seek there really implies persevering effort. It is the thought of one who is constantly seeking. In their risen life of Christ, the Colossian Christians were to be constantly seeking after the things of God. Our Lord Jesus Christ mentions that same exercise to the disciples in that great chapter, Matthew 6 and the verse 33, when he says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And believer, can I say to you this morning that same exercise is needful also in your life, in my life as a Christian. Dear believer, your constant goal in life should be to seek after the things of God. The Bible says, seek ye the Lord. Christian, you're to be like that merchant man that Christ speaks of in one of his parables. He says again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls. Think of a man seeking after treasure. Christian, and seeking after the Lord, you're to be like that man, seeking diligently after the things of God. Christian, let me ask you this morning, is this the present aim and ambition of your life this Easter morning? Or maybe it's the case that the devil has sidetracked you and is seeking after the things of this ungodly world. Maybe the devil has lured you into a life of seeking after self and this world. Oh, Christian, let me say to you, this is not the position that God wants you to be in, or God has ever intended you to be in. God's will for your life is that you, as a believer who has new life in Christ, it is that you seek after the Lord with all your heart and soul and might. Turning your Bible back to the book of Jeremiah chapter 29. Jeremiah chapter 29. And look at what the Lord says there in verse number 13 of this great chapter. He says, "And ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart." Christian, that is God's will for you this morning, that you seek after God with all your heart. Think of our text that says, "Seek those things which are above." Christian, as God speaks to your heart today through His Word as His child, let me ask, are you willing to yield to this call to exercise, to seek after the things above? Are you willing to engage and submit to this holy exercise of seeking after God with all your soul? Let me say this to you, Christian, that if you are to seek after those things which are above, you must leave behind all the trappings of dead, formal, ritualistic religion. What does God say to the Christian in John chapter 4? He says, "God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth." That means with our heart and in accordance to God's Word, not in accordance to the old creeds and ceremonies of men. Oh, Christian, if you are to seek after the things which are above, then you must seek after those things with haste. The Bible says the king's business require of haste. It says, "Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might." Christian, never delay in doing God's will and God's work for your life. Don't hold back. Also, dear Christian, if you are to seek after those things which are above, then your life must be full of holy service to the Lord. The psalmist says, "Serve the Lord with gladness." Christian, never refuse any opportunity that comes your way. Any door that God opens for you for serving Christ, never hold back from that opportunity. Watchman Nee was a faithful servant of Christ. He died in a Chinese prison cell for his faith in Christ. Yet he said this. He said, "No divinely sent opportunity must ever elude us." Also, Christian, if you are to seek after those things which are above, you must bear witness for Christ. What was the parting word of Christ before He was taken up into heaven? He said, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Christian, day by day, seek an opportunity to speak of Christ, to tell someone of your Savior and what He has done for you. The hymn writer says, "Sound the gospel of grace abroad, there's life in the risen Lord." And then, dear child of God, if you are to seek after the things of God, then you should seek also day by day in your life to comfort and to encourage God's people. It's very interesting to note that was the entire goal of the ministry of Christ in His risen life. Think of the very first words He came and spoke to the disciples in the upper room in His risen life. It was simply this: "Peace be unto you." O child of God, and following the risen Christ, your life should be full of good works to others, to saved and to unsaved alike. Look at what Paul says further on down this chapter. Look at chapter 3 of Colossians there, verses 12 to 14.
He's speaking there to those who have this new life in Christ. And he says, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do you. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Christian, and following the risen Christ, I encourage you today to follow in the steps of Barnabas. The name Barnabas means the son of consolation. And you study his life. And there's only a brief part of it in the book of the Acts of the Apostles. But it was a ministry of encouragement. Especially to other Christians. My, that's an example you should follow in following the risen Christ. Think, dear believer, of what God said to Moses regarding Joshua. In Deuteronomy chapter 3 in the verse 28, this was the charge that God set before Moses in relation to young Joshua. He said, encourage him and strengthen him. Oh, believer, in following the risen Christ and exercising this new life, day by day, seek opportunities to encourage, to strengthen, and to bless your fellow believers in Christ. That's the exercise of this new life. We see the meaning of it. But notice, finally this morning, notice the delight of this new risen life in Christ. Notice what Paul says there in verse 2 of Colossians chapter 3. He says, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. You notice that little phrase, set your affection. It really means to ponder after. It means to yearn after. It means to delight in. In other words, these Colossians must yearn after the things of God and the things of heaven. If they were not to be ensnared with false religion and the immoral ways of this world. Likewise, dear child of God, if you and I are to be consistent in following after the risen Christ, then we too must set our affection on things above. We must yearn in our soul after the things of God. In verse 5 of Romans chapter 8, Paul is speaking to the Christian, and this is what he says. He says, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Christian, your mind should not be set upon the things of this world. Rather, it should be set, Paul says, upon the things above, the things of heaven. Dear child of God, if you are to set your affection on things above, then you need to set your affection upon God Himself. God's in heaven. And Christian, as you go through this life, make God the supreme object of your thoughts, your desires, your emotions, your love. The psalmist says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Set your affection upon God. Also, if you're to set your affection on things above, Christian, set your affection upon Christ, upon His person, upon His work alone. Notice what Paul says of Christ there at the end of verse 1. He says, set your affection on things that are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. And what wealth there is there in those words that still speak to us of Christ, of the person of Christ. His person was sinless. And by the sinlessness of Christ, dear Christian, you are accepted with God. Those words remind us of the finished work of Christ. Christ has sat down. He has finished the work of redemption. And Christian, it is through that work that all your sins are forgiven. And it is through that work that all the accusations and the doubts that the devil would throw at you can be repelled. The Bible says, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Think much upon His mediatorial work. It says there that Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. What's Christ doing at this very moment for you, Christian, in heaven? He is praying for you. The Bible says Christ is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Christian, this means that God will give you grace for every trial. He knows every trial that will ever come your way. It means you can never be lost as a Christian. Notice what Paul said to these believers in verse 3. He says, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Think of God
Set your affection upon Christ's person, Christ's work, Christ's reign, Christ's return. And then, Christians, set your affection upon heaven itself. Notice what it says there in our text in verse 2. Set your affection on things above. You're to have a desire, a yearning. You're to think upon heaven. Christian, what is heaven like? Well, it's a place of glory. Look at what Paul says there in verse 4 of the chapter. He says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear. Notice the next words. Then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Christian, you're going to be in glory one day. A place where there will be no sin, no sorrow, no sickness, no night, no goodbyes. A place of likeness to Christ, where you'll be perfectly like Christ. A place of everlasting communion with God. The hymn writer speaks of heaven and it puts it like this. He says, there's a land that is fairer than day. And by faith we can see it afar, for the Father was over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there. Oh, Christian, think on these things. Paul says, set your affection on things above, not on the things of this earth. And this will keep you from being ensnared by the false teachings, the false religions of men. This will keep you from following in the ungodly practices and in the ungodly ways of this world. Oh, Christian, let me say to you this morning, this is your hope in Christ. This is your portion in Christ. Why? Because the Bible says Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Christian, what's your ambition this morning? What's your goal? Paul says here in this little text, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on the things of the earth. Where is your affections this morning, Christian? Is it upon the things of this world? Or are your affections upon Christ, upon God, upon heaven, upon glory, upon what God has done for you and doing for him, what he's yet going to do for you? Maybe you're in the meeting this morning on sea. Well, dear friend, the Bible describes you in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12, as having no hope and without God and without Christ in this world. But praise God, there is deliverance for you from that estate. If you come by faith to Christ, come repenting of your sins before God, confessing your sins to the Lord, trusting in Christ and in his finished work for salvation, you can be saved and have hope and have God and have Christ and have heaven. Christ says, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Are you willing to come to Christ this Easter morning? Trust him as your Savior. The Lord says, call upon me. He says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Tell me, are you willing today to call upon Christ? Come by faith to Christ today. Be united by faith to the risen Christ. Then by his grace alone you'll be able to rejoice in the pardon of all your sins. Then by his grace alone you'll be enabled to live day by day for his glory. And then by his grace alone you'll be able to look forward to heaven, having the great hope, the great assurance of everlasting Christ. Oh, dear people, God says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. We're just going to close our meeting this morning. We're singing together the hymn number 657. King of my life, I crown thee now, thine shall the glory be. Lest I forget thy thorn-crowned bough, lead me to Calvary. This hymn is really a prayer. I know that as we would sing this hymn, it would be the sincere prayer of all our hearts today, that we would crown Christ King and Lord of our life. 657 will stand as we sing. Let us stand as we sing.
King of my life, I cry thee night.
Speaking to you, we urge you to come to Christ today, call upon Him. If I can be of any help to you, I'd be no hurry away after the meeting, only glad to take time with you and show you from the Word of God how you can be saved. Friend, there's nothing more important that you're saved and that you're ready for heaven. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for Thy presence with us this morning. We thank Thee for these great lessons of Thy Word that Thou hast been speaking to us about today. Lord, write these lessons indelibly and effectively upon our hearts. We pray, Lord, that within the soul of all who are saved in this meeting, that there'd be that holy ambition day by day to seek after the risen Christ, to seek after the things that are above, to set our affection, O God, upon Thee, upon Christ, upon heaven. And Lord, fill us each one with a fresh love for God, a fresh love for Thy Word, fresh love for the things of God. And Lord, give us a desire day by day to tell others about the Lord, to win others to Christ. Lord, part us with Your fear and with Your favor. Take us to our different homes in safety.
May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship and the communion of the Holy Spirit rest and abide upon every heart and soul this day. For Jesus' sake we ask it. Amen and amen.